What an incredible weekend. I'm just blown away at you guys. Just knowing on Saturday morning we had the color run. Was that awesome or what? Seeing those pictures on, oh man, it was awesome. And then the formal dance on Saturday night, and then softball on Sunday, and meet week all this week, and Ahava next Saturday. Love it. You guys are just knocking it out of the park, and I appreciate the investment that you're making in this community. And it's a privilege to be affiliated with all that's going on and what you guys are doing. I had a very good response from many of you last week in relation to the topic that we preached, that I preached, on giving and just having on money, really, and the three different forms of financial plans that we can have. And I thought it would be good for us to review. I've had a number of people asking questions about things. I want to just be painfully clear as to what we talked about, because sometimes I think we can take bits and pieces of what I said and kind of misquote me, and I don't want that to happen. So I'm just going to be very painfully clear. We talked about the fact that there are three things that you can do with money. You can either spend it, you can either save it, or you can give it. And if you do the save first, or the spend first, that our heart ends up being everywhere. It's just going everywhere. We said you could save first. And when we save first and get that mentality, our heart would be selfish. And we talked about putting giving first. And when we give first, our heart is the Lord's. And that's why he said, give your first fruits to me. That's not a one-time thing. It's not like, oh, you know, this month I'm going to give my first fruits to the Lord, there I'm giving. No, that's one time, and that is actually the habit of a spender, because you're this month it's this, the next month it's that, and your heart's everywhere. We talked about the need for us to consistently, month to month, make a sacrifice to say, God, I might be making a lot, I might be making a little, but whatever I make, a tenth or a portion or a first fruit off the top is going to go to you. So that's what the plan is. Then we moved a little bit further along, and we said the second thing is, well, what's that amount going to be? And we decided some of us are going to have regular incomes and some of us don't. Some of us have wealth and some of us have poverty. And we decided together, I kind of decided for you, I kind of put a challenge out there, that whether you're giving a lot or making a lot and have wealth, or whether you've got poverty, $6.25 a week seemed like a reasonable portion off the top, even if somebody that's poor. And we concluded that that would be $25 a month. And we thought, well, what would that look like? Well, $25 a month could go a long ways for a lot of ministries. And I talked about how that means a lot to us, $25 sections. And so that was the amount that we talked about. The third thing that we need to all think about is, where do you give that? That might not be here, and I'm fine with that. And I want you to be considering some creative outlets for yourself in this. Where is God moving that you want to join him there? And we have a number of people doing short-term missions this summer. Maybe you want to give to that. Maybe there's also some other ministries here in town. Maybe there's a local church. But we also talked about how our ministry is committed to disciple making, especially in other countries, which is kind of a unique niche, I think, that we fit. And so what we want to do tonight, what we said we'd do last week and that we would do tonight, is that we give you those cards to pray over, these electronic, if you wanted to give electronically or give regularly here, that you could drop one of those cards in these KFC buckets this week. And I knew when it happened, I knew when we sent them out last week, nobody's going to remember their cards this week, which is probably, I'm guessing, is the case. Maybe some of you did, and maybe I'm just going to have egg in my face. But what we're going to do at this point is we're going to pass our clipboards. And before you do that, I'm going to let you know what's on that clipboard. On that clipboard, first and foremost, is a sign-up sheet for our National Student Conference in August. It's an excellent, excellent way to start off our school year. Right before school starts, it's about a 5-day conference. Food's included, travel, all of this is included, and it's only $200 for 5 days. And I know that seems like a chunk of change right now, but I'm telling you, it'd be really worth every penny if you can make that happen. So there is a sign-up sheet, and we'd like you to consider going. If you are considering it, please sign your name to it. If you know that you're not, you can cross your name off if you signed up last week. That's going to be going along each of the rows. And please make sure that these get to everybody, because it also has a card from last week. If you forgot yours and you definitely want one, you have a chance to take it. At the end of our talk tonight, we're going to pass these KFC buckets around and collect any commitment cards that we might have. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay, so we can go ahead and pass the clipboards at this time. Tonight, we're going to want to talk. It's kind of my last chance to chat at you guys this year. And I've just had a blast preaching this year, and it's been really fun. You guys have been an incredibly attentive and fun group to preach to. And tonight, something I want you to take with you, something I want to give you in a way that you can take it, whether you're just going for the summer and you're coming back next fall, or maybe you're not coming back. I want to give you something to take on your journey. And before we do that, we have to understand this one thing. I want to tell you about a friend of mine named Mike Giesecke. Mike Giesecke was my best friend in eighth grade. And Mike and I did everything together. We had class together. We'd go to each other's house on the weekends. We had a blast. We'd play basketball together. What else did we do together? Oh, we played football together. We rode the bench together. That's what we did. We rode the bench together, and the coach made fun of us as, like, those two at the end of the year, at the end banquet. I don't know. Banquets today, I found, are very encouraging to everybody. But back then, it was like, and then there's two guys that didn't hit anybody all year, Mike and Pete. And, you know, it's just this call out. So we kind of bonded over that. I remember we went to Cedar Point together on an eighth grade trip. We played band together. He was a trumpet player. I was a trombone player. We got to go on this trip to Cedar Point, and we rode our first roller coaster together. And we just, like, pooped our pants together. It was just unbelievable. And we absolutely loved it. Was figure speech, okay? We loved each other, and I remember at the end of the year, we had these little yearbooks, right? And everyone's running around, and, you know, girls that you've never seen in your life, like, will you sign my yearbook? You meant so much to me this year. some of these were meaningful, and some of them I don't remember, but I've read through this yearbook from time to time, and I see Mike's signature. Mike's little message, he has a little thing that says, and I don't remember the details of what he said, but I do remember how he ended it. And we used to do this little thing where you'd, like, it'd be like one big F and then another line through it, so it looks like FF, friends forever. And he said, friends forever. This is before BFF, right? And I just remember reading that at the time and thinking, yeah, friends forever, for sure. And then high school came, and we kind of got into some different sports. He was more of a swimmer, I was more of a basketball player, and we were always friendly, but the school was bigger and didn't really see a whole lot of each other. And honestly, we just drifted apart. I've not really known Mike or seen Mike for 20 years. I saw him at a 20-year class reunion. And it made an impression on me that these people that you really think are going to be your friends forever sometimes are not. And it made me realize, I learned a lesson in there, that good friends are hard to come by, and they are worth fighting for. Good friends need some work to keep in your life. And I want you so badly tonight, if you haven't learned anything at Encounter this year or these 4 years, I want you to know that the thing I want to hand you is your best friend forever, and that being Jesus. We're not going to all travel with each other the rest of our life. And some of you feel like, well, yeah, we're friends forever. We're going to be BFFs. And it's not going to probably be the case because this community is not going to stay like this. And it's not sad. It's okay. You do have a best friend. You all have a best friend. And we have all connected to that best friend. And his name is Jesus. And I want you to take that and I want you to work with that this summer, next fall, and in the years to come. I used to have Navigators as a campus ministry that used to be pretty established here on campus. And I made friends with the campus minister there, and he gave me this Navigator wheel. I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this. And this Navigator wheel hung in my office for years. And I don't know, I think it broke one day, but it looks something like this. And this is the obedient Christian in action. And in Christ is in the middle. And it has these four different avenues to getting to Jesus. It really, what I liked about this is that it reminded me that Jesus is as much of a relational person, God, as we are. Some of you are going to get jobs on opposite ends of the country. And you're going to have to work at staying friends. And when that happens and somebody calls you up, that friend calls you up, you're not going to look at your caller ID and be like, oh, not now. You're going to be, oh, yeah, you got to talk to them. Communication's huge. When they text you, you're going to text back. When they Facebook you, you're going to Facebook back. There is this communication that needs to be happening, mostly through the verbal. And with the verbal is prayer. And that is, you got to be able to talk to people. You got to be able to talk to God. This communication with the Lord is also, I think, something that we do through worship. Worship, prayer, all kind of up and down right there. Off to the left, or I guess straight down would be the word. When somebody texts you, types you, gives you a letter, you want to read it, right? I mean, if somebody's sending you something, you're not going to be like, oh, I guess I'll table that, and maybe one day I'll knock the dust off and read it. No, you read what people send if you value it. The Word of God is not a list of rules as much as it is a love letter to you. And if you never open it up, it kind of tells you what the relationship is probably like. The Word of God is a bunch of love letters. They're one big love letter. And he's writing to you, and he wants this relationship. You need to be in the Word. These are huge. You need to be praying. You need to be in the Word. So this first little section I want to talk about is really maybe a charge to you, an encouragement to you, a challenge for you to have all of these things working for you. To the right, it's fellowship. You need to have community around you. If one of your friends heads off to the war, and you have this really deep relationship with this person, one way to stay connected is to stay connected to his family on this side of the ocean. And to see what's going on and to hear from his uncle and his grandma, and you got to hear from his friends, and you stay in contact with them, you're going to learn some things that you didn't know about what he's going through or different things that might draw you closer to this guy. Does that make sense? And I think that's really true with fellowship here. It's like when you begin to interact and talk and exchange ideas about this God who you don't know everything about, but these other people have experienced some other aspects of God, this is part of fellowship, is getting to know Jesus is through community. We have experienced that here this year at Encounter. The other thing is on this, it's called witnessing. I would call that just telling people about this friendship that you have. If you've got a deep friendship with somebody, if you've got a deep friendship with some girl, you're going to want to tell other people about it. And that's just a healthy, healthy thing to keep that relationship with that person strong. These things all working together keep the relationship a relationship. And I want that to be something that I want you to hear, that these really are, it's not a secret. These are the things that work for us. These are the things that work for our relationship with him. Now, I want to talk a little bit about some of the ways that this is abused. Because what I have noticed over the years is I have noticed that there are some people that we do really, really well with friends once they're like in vicinity of us, like Mike was with me. Like when Mike and I were together, it was just like, this is natural, this is fun, this is gonna always be the way it is. And then he left and I didn't know how to reconnect. And I've seen people on this campus that had a girlfriend. And this guy, I remember one guy specifically, he came and he had this girlfriend, he had a picture of his girlfriend. And he, every person he met, he wanted to tell the 3-hour version of how they met and how much he misses her and she lives in Tennessee and this is what's going on and I miss her so much and I need to be with her and all my, and you just, hey, it was just a simple question. Hey, who is that? Oh, let me tell you. Pull up a chair. And I mean, and then he would say, this is the short version. Can I talk to you more about her next time? It's like, oh my gosh, dude. And maybe today, with today's technology, maybe there's videos that you might be carrying, or I don't even know. But there's something unhealthy about this. And he said, every night I go to bed, I just look at her picture until I fall asleep. And, you know, we're all thinking, creepy. But he's thinking, you know, this is love. He was deceived into worshiping or loving or becoming a intentional investor in the mode, not the person. It's like he fell in love with the picture more than her. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of weird. And it's extremely weird to everyone else, but to the person who's doing it, it doesn't seem weird at all because that's all he's got. And we look at that and we say, that is so, so stupid. And yet I have seen many, many more people come through here and they have met Jesus in a very real way through worship. And they're like, just play that song again. We got to worship that song. And there becomes this worship of worship that almost starts to happen, where we're worshiping an experience and we're trying to recreate that mode because we have only experienced this relationship with Jesus only through one of the spokes. And then it's almost like we shift our attention away from Jesus and onto the spoke. And that's happened. That's happened for a number of people. I've seen that. I've seen people that have poured themselves into prayer and poured themselves into this experience and poured themselves into this spiritual zone, and they worship that. And Jesus is like, oh, you look so silly. I want you to know me. Not the mode. And I've seen some people, and this isn't real common, and please understand, you got to pray and you got to worship, okay? Just like you have to read the Word. I'm going to tell you right now, I think the Word of God is the most important, practical, easy way for us to not get sidetracked and just know the Father's heart, to know who is God and his son Jesus. Yet I know some people that have shifted their mode and they begin to worship the Bible study, worship the preacher. Oh man, I've got like 9 different preachers I listen to online. Just this sermon's awesome, this one's really good. I listen to that one if I want to get a little tingle, and I listen to this one if I really want to get a challenge, and I really listen to this one if I just want to feel good. And then I just, oh man, just sermon, preacher. And it's like Jesus is like, hey, are we worshiping the mode or are we worshiping me? And I could go on and on and on. I think you get the point, but what I'm going to get to right now is the end. And that's the fact that I think in a campus ministry, it is so easy for us to worship the community. It is so easy for us to say, man, this has been like, I always describe it as community on steroids, and it really is. I mean, you guys have the ability to really be with each other in each other's lives all the time. You're able to stay up till 2 o'clock in the morning with each other. You're able to really be in the same basic schedule. You all live within about a mile of each other. You're just available for each other. None of you have kids that you have to tuck away at night. None of you got marriage problems yet. It's awesome. And it will never, ever be like this again. And I'm not telling you that because it's bad or it's worse or these are the best times of your life. Eat them up, enjoy them while they're here. I'm not saying that because I think life gets better and better and better and better. But community is never going to be quite as easy as it is right now. And if you're not prepared for it, you're going to move on to the next stage of life, and you're going to be moving into a church, and everyone has kids, and they're like, well, who's available to stay up till 2 in the morning? And you'll be realize real quick, you're not available to stay up till 2 in the morning. And you're going to say, this isn't like college. This isn't like what I experienced at Encounter. Jesus just must not be here. No, Jesus is here. Jesus is always here. He's always the same. And you've changed. And your mode may have changed. Do not worship community. Do not worship the word. Do not worship prayer. Do not worship evangelism. Okay? Are we good with that? Here is a concluding scripture from Hebrews. The Hebrew, we don't know the Hebrew writer, but chapter 13, he's kind of got this farewell speech going on. And I didn't put it up on PowerPoint, but I am going to read it to you. It's was there something up there? We'll get there. Hebrews 13. And it was just kind of interesting. As I was reading this, it's like, I don't know who this guy was. Some say it was Barnabas. Some say it was Paul. I don't know who it was. But whoever wrote this, I was like, man, this is what I want to tell you guys tonight. And there's two things. There's two phrases within this text that really do stand out. They really do. I do really want you to read, and I'm going to have them read or have them put on the PowerPoint behind me as I get to them. But it starts off by this. He says, "Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters." Oh, guys, I want you to do that. Keep on. If you're leaving here, even for the summer or for longer, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. I would agree with that. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Yeah, don't forget about those new people coming in, those strangers you meet on the street, those people that need love that you don't know yet. Don't forget to keep bringing people into this flock. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were there together with them in prison, and those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Always be looking for the people that are outside that are suffering and need help. And then he just jumps right into marriage. I don't know why, but hey, I would agree. He says, marriage. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed should be kept pure. Good. Do that. Then he says this, keep your lives free from the love of money. We talked about that last week. Don't be a spender. And be content with all you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, and never will I forsake you. I want you to know that God never will leave you and never will forsake you, even if the modes around you begin to change and the things that you used to really find comfort in finding the Lord through that mode, if that's not there anymore, he's still there. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I really liked this illustration I heard once about a grandpa and a grandma. Like, when they first got married, they weren't grandma and grandpa yet, but all right, this young couple get married. And the guy's driving his pickup truck, and you've seen those out in the country, right? These guys driving, and the girl's like right next to them. And they're like driving along, and then as they get older, the grandma's sitting on the end. And he's driving, and she says, "Why are we so far apart? Like, what happened? Why have we grown apart?" And he's like, "I haven't moved." And I think about how God doesn't move, okay? We sometimes move, but God doesn't move, okay? It says this, verse 6. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can mere mortals do to me? Hey, go out there and don't fear people. God is on your side. He'll never leave you. He will never forsake you. What have you got to fear? Go for it. I love that. The Lord, then he says, remember your leaders.
Yeah.
Who spoke the word of God to you.
Don't forget us. Don't forget us.
I want you to remember Ben. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. I hope there's something in our lives that's worth imitating. I hope there's something that we were able to demonstrate when you guys got to go over to Ben and Joe's house at times and see how they interact with their kids. Occasionally, some of you have been able to see that with me and my family too. Just imitate. Hopefully, there's something there to imitate. And then the last thing he says is kind of the same as what we just said before. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I want to close tonight. I know it's kind of quick. It's kind of a simple and to the point message tonight. But I want you to seriously understand that Jesus is your best friend forever. And it's going to take some work on your behalf to keep him number one. And as you guys are entering now into adulthood, as you guys are entering into a new stage of life, it is going to take effort. It's going to take effort for you to make him stay number one so that you don't drift down the seat, that you stay with him all the way. And these are the forms. It's talking about him. It's talking to him. It's reading his words. And it's one other one that I forgot. We need to be investing in him. And it really starts, I think, with what we talked about last week and what we have an opportunity to do now. And if you're given somewhere else, hey, great, that's awesome. But I really seriously, this is experience talking. If I don't tell you this, you'll never know it, and then we'll be separated and we'll like drift forever and we'll never be able to say it. So I'm going to say it to you before you leave. If you do not give here, the relationship between you and encounter is going to probably be gone. That's how it works. I wish it worked some other way. Well, I'll just pray for you. You might for a while. You are where your heart is, where your treasure is. Your heart will be where your treasure is. And when churches will call us up and say, hey, we're not supporting anymore, my heart breaks a little bit. And I usually give them a call. I say, hey, that's fine. I'm super fine with you guys giving another place. But I do want you to understand that when you give somewhere else and you're not giving here at all, that means there's no relationship anymore. Because when we are in adult land and we are living our lives in Des Moines, this place will slowly, as much as it means to you right now, just like Mike Giesecke, it's going to drift apart. There has to be an investment that keeps happening. And I'm wanting that for those of you who are graduating, of course, but I'm also wanting that for all of us right now. And so that's just the facts, and that's just the truth, and that's just the way it is. And I think it's awesome, though, that God's put it that way, so we have an opportunity to all share in the great things that are about to happen in the next phases of this ministry. We want you to be a part of that. And it's not everything. Those That navigator wheel has got lots of relational aspects to it, but do not misunderstand. If you do not give, your heart won't be there. And I want to give you that chance tonight. And so maybe you're not prepared even tonight, and you want to even give us something this week at the campus house. That's fine. But we're going to pass these buckets. We're going to sing a little bit, and then we're going to go. Okay? Why don't we, and we're going to stay seated for this because this makes it easier. So stay seated, and I'll pray, and the band, you can come up. Jesus, I just want to thank you for being our best friend. You're the center of all of this community. You're the center of last weekend. You're the center of softball games, and you're the center of meet week. You're the center of things that go on all around us. You're the center of our lives. We do not want to throw you aside and worship the mode. We want to worship you. We want to know you. We want to continue to know you. And we want to let you know that right off the top, right off the very cream of the top, we want to give you our best. Because we feel like you're moving. And we want to move where you're moving, and we want our hearts to be where you're moving, and we are excited about doing that. We're not the kind of people that are giving begrudgingly. We're the kind of people that you talked about being cheerful as we did it. And may tonight just be honoring to you as we lift our offerings to you at this time. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.